Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the investor call to discuss the financial performance of Craftsman Automation Limited for the quarter ended 30th June 2022. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director of Craftsman Automation Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ravi.
Good afternoon, everyone. It gives me immense pleasure in welcoming you all for the earnings call for Q1 FY 2023. We are happy to announce that recently the credit rating of our company got upgraded with A+ stable outlook. It was improved from A with stable outlook. We would like to also bring the attention of all the shareholders and all the people on the call that we have integrated the industrial aluminum business with the auto aluminum, and now we call this segment as aluminum product segment. This gives better focus on the aluminum business as a whole. It also gives a lot of synergy and operating leverage on the business. The marketing and other resources within the company and outside also, I think it's a coordinated effect. I think this will improve the profitability of the division going forward. It is already implemented now. I just want to touch upon the industry situation now. Last year Q1 is strictly not comparable with this year Q1 because of the pandemic. I'll refrain from comparing year-on-year Q1. Rather than that, I will do the Q4, which was Q1 comparison in my talk today. Yes, there are a lot of headwinds across the world, the geopolitical situation, the Ukraine situation, the inflation, all that is all known to you. Fairly, I think we had a decent first quarter as a company. I'll just run you through the headlines of the Q1. The auto powertrain business Q1 as it was 348 crore. In comparison of Q4, it was 338 crore, a 3% growth. In the aluminum products, we had 171 crore. The Q4 was 167 crore, again a 3% growth. On the industrial engineering front, we had 157 crore. This was 150 crore, a 4% growth. As a whole, we are at 676 crore. Comparably on Q4, we were at 654 crore, a 3% growth. The segment-wise EBIT on Q1 was 95 crore. On the auto powertrain, this is 86 crore on the Q4, and auto aluminum was 20 crore. This was 11 crore. Industrial engineering was 11 crore, slightly lower, of course, lower than Q4, it was 20 crore. Totally, our EBIT stands at 112 crore. This was Q4 of 105 crore. Thank you very much, and I will just leave the floor open for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, can you share the value add numbers for auto powertrain and aluminum business?
Yes. I can share with you. The value add for the auto powertrain has been 223 crores. The aluminum products has been 71, and industrial engineering was 58 crore.
Okay. Secondly, with respect to the RM cost, when I look at the blended RM cost, it has seen a reduction on QQ basis as percentage of sales. So is that the reflection of stability in commodity prices and the cost pass-through coming through, and hence that's a reduction, or there is something more to that?
No, it is a combination of many factors. One is the raw material price has been steadily coming down, even as we speak. It is coming down, so it is a weighted average which is happening, and the pass-through is also more or less in line with the current situation, which is not, we don't have too much spikes on that. And the product mix also, we are conscious to make more products with more value add as we speak. That is another important point. All three have contributed towards the production of construction material.
Right. That is also reflecting the margin improvement for powertrain business on QQ basis.
There is only very marginal improvement from Q4 to Q1. That is also slightly due to the better operating leverage. The top line has also gone up a little.
The powertrain business seemed to have seen almost 200 basis point increase on PBIT margins. So that would be predominantly reflection of the drivers which led to RM cost reduction. Is that correct?
No, I would say that in a different way, that we have a mixture in the auto powertrain of commercial vehicles, farm sector, construction machinery, industrial engines, and also some passenger vehicles and others. So there is some shift. You know that the farm sector was still not picking up in Q1 overall. So we had higher value add on certain of the machining products in the commercial vehicle segment. So I think the product mix has slightly changed in Q1. That is always a seasonal effect, I would say.
Okay. Understood. And lastly, we have seen increase on the staff cost side. So is that, what we have seen in this quarter is a sustainable number, or were there any one-offs?
No, we have been consciously adjusting the upwards the cost of the employees, because you know very well there's an inflation totally. So you're talking about that, or?
Yeah, I'm talking of the staff cost inflation.
Yeah.
Primarily the QOQ increase which has happened.
Oh, the more. That was, I think, one of the bonus adjustment would have been there on the last year and also in the Q1.
Yeah, bonus provision we have made this time in Q1 itself.
Okay.
Normally it will be in the Q3. So now we have made in the Q1. Some provision has been made.
Yes, the two things are contributing, as clarified by Mr. C.P. Chandrasekhar, CFO, that we have we are confident about the profitability, so we started providing on bonus at Q1 itself now. On top of it, we've given some salary increase to the employees. Yes.
Got it. And lastly, can you indicate the net debt as of June 22? Thanks.
There has been overall debt increase of 50 crore, but I would say that there has been a reduction of 30 crore in the long-term loans and 80 crore increase in the short-term loans.
Okay. Got it. Thanks, I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chetan Didoria from Alpha Accuracet. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, wanted to understand on the margins of our powertrain business. So during Q3, Q4, from what I understand is that due to the fall in tractor volumes, we had seen a reduction in our margin also for the segment. Given that now this quarter tractor has seen a very sharp rebound, at least on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the reflection in margin improvement is not there in the powertrain segment. So am I missing something? Or can you explain about this?
Overall, if you look at it, the farm sector has been, last 2 months it has been doing well, but is not in April, there was no rebound. Commercial vehicle wise, some of our customers have not increased sales in Q1, which is normally a weak quarter. We also have tried to exports on the commercial vehicle segment in a big way, totally. So it is a blended average, I think, plant-wise capacity utilization. Each of the plants is not one single plant for looking at better operating leverage. We have 7-8 plants located across the country, closer to the customer. So some of the plants have been suboptimal, some of the plants have been optimal. So that was one of the reasons for the change. That will constantly fluctuate. Even among the product mix also, there is subsegments in the product. We have high value-added products and normal value-added products.
Okay, okay. And within the storage and engineering segment, can you give breakup between now what is the breakup between storage and engineering? And
yes, I will give the in the for the Q1 the sales has been 157 crore as a whole. The subsegment sales of storage solutions has been 88 crore out of the 157.
Okay, okay, got it. And the storage solution would be earning lower margin right now?
No, we cannot say lower margin. Material content is normally lower. It has got a very good ROC, but the point will be that it, since it's material intensive, the EBITDA number will be lower, but EBIT numbers I think it's reasonable overall. But I think we look at percentage of EBITDA, yes, it is lower.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers and thank you for taking the question. So my first question is more on the industry, especially in Europe. There is a power crisis that we are all seeing. Have you started to see more inquiries from some of the OEMs or customers in Europe to source more casting products from India? Anything on that front are you hearing? Can India be a beneficiary of some shift in casting business from the developed markets to India?
Mr. Nishit Jalan, I have to say yes and no. Not from the auto sector, I have a very clear explanation for that. There is a lot of support from the OEMs to their Taiwan suppliers within Europe. They are showing, really an united front in fighting this problem. So the minute they are giving the compensation, the OEMs are giving compensation for the power or the gas or fuel, whatever is the crisis which is happening there. So the tier one suppliers, the key tier one suppliers are fully compensated. So they are not shifting business at all. In that, and it doesn't, it's not easy to shift business also. Shifting business will be shooting on their own foot because of the, then the tier one suppliers in Europe will collapse if they're shifting business. And shifting business takes years to happen. So I don't see that happening. But whereas in other pockets, not in the auto sector, the auto OEMs are quite big, large, and also they are quoted with cash, I would say. But I would say that the normal segment of the engineering business and all, there is a thought process to shift some of the production to other countries. There is also a de-risking policy for the geopolitical situation, which everybody is aware. For our Asian neighbor, I think, which is also very key supplier to Europe, they are looking at sourcing from India as a additional source, I would say. That is coming up, that is not for the automotive sector as of now.
Okay, okay. But I understand that typically it takes a long time and it's a strategic decision to change your sourcing in terms of geography, but do you think over a period of time it can pick up and we as a company can benefit out of it, either by exporting directly or some of the tier one companies setting up plant or starting to source more from India in that sense? Do you think it is something which can play out in the next 3-4 years, or do you think that it might not play out, but in the non-auto segment it will still play out?
No, it will play out in the auto segment as well as the non-auto segment. We are still too small in the manufacturing capacity when compared to our Asian neighbor. They are, I think, 12 times more or 10 times more. I would not exactly say that number. But even a small shift, I think we have to, India has to gear up. So we will benefit as a country. I think we'll see a growing trend towards exports. That is very sure.
Okay. And within the industrial segment, will it be possible for you to give some color as to which kind of industrial businesses you are seeing more traction, or this is in general a more generic phenomena which is starting to play out?
The other Asian giant was the manufacturing hub for the entire world, but now the policy of the multinational seems to be that the market there is sufficient or too very big enough to absorb the capacity. So for rest of the world, they are looking at other sources like India to reduce the geopolitical risk. So there we are seeing a lot of opportunity.
Okay, got it. And sir, a couple of housekeeping questions. One, what was the overall Daimler revenues that we saw in this quarter? And based on the order wins and company's plans, how much can it ramp up further going ahead? And secondly, obviously you are showing a better growth a better top line growth. Does that bring any changes to the CapEx assumptions or the CapEx guidance that you had given previously?
Pardon me, but I don't want to give exact customer-wise sales. But for Brazil Daimler, we have got a cylinder order. We just started last month starting to supply. That will be adding to our Daimler business, which is currently only in the cylinder block for Brazil. So that is going to grow. What was your second question, please?
My second question was on CapEx. You are growing at a faster pace. Does that require any change in your CapEx guidance? I think last quarter you had talked about 220, 230 crores. So any change that you envisage on the CapEx front?
We have guided for, 20% growth on the top line as well as an absolute EBITDA number growth. For that, the 225 crore CapEx is good enough. If you go beyond that, maybe marginally CapEx may go up, maybe for capacity balancing or debottlenecking.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Congrats for a strong set of numbers, sir. And my first question is related with powertrain business, where that in this quarter, tractor volume was very strong, and that's reflected in the top line and the margin both. So going ahead, as the inventory is quite high in the tractor segment now, so production will be hit. So how is the outlook ahead for this powertrain business?
Q2, we don't see big upsurge, but it is going on similar lines for Q1 as far as production is concerned. But we are only 15 days into the month now. So I would say that, 3 weeks into the month. So we have, we may get more traction in the coming months. But as of now, I think Q2 looks on similar lines to Q1.
Okay. And for the second half of FY23, sir?
Q4 is normally very strong across all segments. Q3 depends on various factors.
Okay. And how is the outlook for the margin side? As that most of the time you just pass on the all cost to the clients. So as the RM prices has gone down, so most probably you will pass on the cost to the clients as this from the next quarter onwards. So how will be the impact on the both the top line and the margin side?
I think we are having this been very decent, I think fair pass through on the RM across all the segments of the business. I don't see any issue, and RM is also stabilizing or even coming down now, so I don't see that being in spoiler for any profitability going forward. When you ask about demand, yes, if the demand increases, our operating leverage will improve, and that may improve our margins. But at this level, I think we are at a stable level.
Okay, sir. And in the non-auto segment, we have seen a sharp correction in the metal prices, sharp correction in the margin, despite the correction in the metal prices, especially the steel and the aluminium both. So what is the reason of such sharp fall in the margin side, and how is the outlook ahead?
If you look at the storage solution, we have grown from say 65 crore in Q4 to 88 crore, whereas the total segment of the business has grown from 150 to 157 because the aluminium portion has been removed and added to the aluminium products. So the other high-end sub-assemblies, there has been a little drop in the sales, 15% drop. So this is one of the reasons the product mix changing has led to more raw material consumption in the storage solution. So it looks artificially that the margin has come down. The margin is stable across the subsegment of the products, but as a segment, yes, I agree that the margin has come down.
So storage solution business will also benefit from the fall in the prices of steel. So how is the outlook ahead, and what kind of the volume and the margin guidance for the non-automatic segment?
For the industrial engineering, better operating leverage will improve our margins going forward, and in storage solutions, the automated solutions is increasing in the coming quarters. That will also yield better margins compared to the static racking business.
Okay, sir. And my last question is on the aluminium casting side. So how was the contribution from two-wheelers versus the four-wheeler in the first quarter? And how is the going ahead for FY23?
Our basic purpose of merging the auto aluminium and industrial aluminium also, because it was the overlap was becoming larger. We are getting more business from the gravity die casting, low pressure die casting from the auto, which was predominantly more used for the industrial engineering segment. So by merging these segments, we are having very good operating leverage, shared costs, and also flexibility to ramp up faster. So now with these two segments, now the new business is everything coming to the mainly from the passenger vehicle segment. So in the next few quarters, our dependence on four-wheeler is already started coming down. But in the next few quarters, I think it will be significantly down. The dependence on two-wheeler.
How was the mix in the first quarter, two-wheeler versus the four-wheeler?
No, I don't want to state those numbers exactly because in a transition stage, but at least last month I can tell you that the passenger vehicle segment and the commercial vehicle segment, the numbers have increased. Please wait for one more quarter, things will be transparent, more transparent to give the correct number, because we are in a transition stage now.
Okay, sir. And sir, how do you see the impact of the top lines of the Daimler tax with the coming in a near term, I mean, to FY23 and 24?
Sorry, I think clarity in the question, I was not able to hear you properly. Could you repeat the question, please?
Sir, how much impact do you see in the revenue from Daimler India in a powertrain business? For the near term due to the pact with the coming, I mean to say for FY23 and 24.
Okay. For us, if we take Daimler business as a whole, there are three components to the Daimler business, or you can even say four components of Daimler business. The biggest component, which is around 70% of our turnover, 70% of our turnover is coming from Daimler Brazil. There the transition from say Euro 6 or BS 6 equivalent to the next level of norms is going to take place at the end of the decade only. Still they are at BS 5 stage. They have not implemented BS 6 at all. So only next year they are implementing BS 6. And from BS 5 to BS 6 they have taken, I think, 7-8 years for a transition. So what is expected is 2028 or 29 they will move to the next level possibly. That time they will adopt the Cummins engine. So our business, as 80% of our business or 70% business is fully protected until 2028. Daimler India has got two components or three components, I would say, what we are talking about. Two components is, one is the medium duty vehicle or the upper the fuso range of vehicles, which they have got a good share of the export market also. There, the Cummins engine is not planned to be implemented as of now. There's no. And the heavy-duty truck, yes, they by 2024, 2025, around that range, they will introduce the Cummins engine. For the rest of the world, where again, they are using the Daimler engine for the other emission countries, I think they will continue to use the Daimler engine. So we'll have in the Daimler portfolio, we'll lose around 15% of the Daimler portfolio by 2024.
Okay, 15% of the value additions or total revenue?
The value addition of the Daimler portfolio. Yeah.
In terms of the revenue, how much size would be?
So I would not like to speak about customer revenue, but it will be in very low single digit as far as powertrain is concerned itself, whatever we are going to lose. Because we are growing on the powertrain as a whole, we will continue to grow even after 2024 on the powertrain business, because the new business are kicking in.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Because the heavy-duty segment of Daimler, the numbers are in public domain, so only that will get affected into the 2024.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vishal from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir, and congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, my one question, first question is regarding the new reorganization scheme which you have stated. Your IE business, industrial engineering business, has seen sharp drop in the EBIT margin. So as you said, there was some mix change also. But on a sustainable basis, what kind of margins you are targeting? That is my first question, sir.
The first question will be somewhere in between the Q4 margins and the Q1 margins is what is sustainable going forward. And when the operating leverage improves, I think we can do better than the Q4 margins. Now, what you see is that there's a disproportionate increase in the storage solution business as a composition of the industrial engineering business. That will set to change in the coming quarters, because we have got additional new businesses in the machining area, also in the industrial engineering business. Plus, the automated solutions business is growing now with the new order inflow. So we'll be very close to restoring the IND margins in similar lines with Q4 by this year Q4.
Okay. So last quarter was somewhere around 13.7%, and this quarter was around 7.8%. So you are targeting somewhere around 10-11% margin going forward on a sustainable basis for the year?
Yes. And Q4, I think, we are by Q4, we'll be restoring the margins equivalent to the last year Q4 with the product mix.
Okay. Okay. Okay, sir. Sir, in terms of auto aluminum business, as per the new organization scheme, the PV casting business will also fall in this business, which I presume is high-margin business. And plus, as the demand in the two-wheeler industry also increase, what kind of scope you are expecting for margin improvement for this business?
Now, I would first answer this very important question holistically, then I will drill down to details. We have high-pressure die casting, we have low-pressure die casting, we have gravity casting, we have sand casting. In sand casting, we have green sand casting and also chemically bonded two-part sand. I will start with the high-pressure die casting. High-pressure die casting, with the most of the products are, of course, the automotive parts only. Industrial engineering parts, we have few. We are the biggest, of course, as of today, is the two-wheeler, but followed by now the passenger vehicle segment will kick in next year with the Stellantis business. Then we are also having a commercial vehicle business for the high-pressure die casting. And we also started to get the farm sector business on the high-pressure die casting. Now, on the low-pressure die casting, it is both automotive and non-automotive industrial engineering business was also there in the low-pressure die casting. In gravity, today, predominantly, we are having mostly almost a 50-50 split between industrial engineering and auto. And in there, we are getting more and more business from the auto in the gravity die casting for two reasons. One reason is because of the move towards EV, these alloys are structural parts and more aligned with the industrial engineering aluminum portion of our business, what we see, because these are not traditionally high pressure die casting parts. This alloy cannot be high pressure die cast also. So with this sort of growth happening on the gravity die casting, our margins will improve as a whole, apart from the operating leverage by merging these divisions totally.
Okay, okay. Sir, any ballpark expectation if you can share, that will be great, sir.
The margins are not, of course, there can be small changes quarter to quarter. I cannot say because of the product mix which is changing. But by this
operating leverage, sir?
Pardon?
On a yearly basis, what kind of margin would you like to complete the year?
We'll be on the similar lines of Q1 for the year. But with if the operating leverage further improves with more order position, I think it may improve also.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So, just one more small question in terms of data. What would be the capacity utilization levels across the businesses?
It is slightly improved. I think we are closing to 70. Up to 90 we can go. Beyond 85, I think we need to be very careful because some segments we will run out of capacity. It cannot be uniformly across all the plants and across all the lines of business we can be uniformly 85. So that means when today we are comfortable, I would say. There's still a lot of headroom and we may end up if not in Q2, at least 1 month in Q3, we may end up utilizing capacity up to 80% is what we see going forward. So we are, our performance in Q1 I would say that is a realistic situation today of the company's performance.
Okay, okay. Sir, what is the kind of capex you are expecting for the year?
We have looked at for this year growth, we have guided for 20% growth on top line and 20% absolute value of the EBITDA number. For that, maintenance capex and growth capex are new lines of capex. All put together, we estimated 225 crore. You know that our depreciation is around 205-208 crore. So even the 225 crore, bulk of it, 150 crore is actually maintenance capex only. So if you see any opportunity which is going beyond the 20-25% growth which we have planned, then we may look at revising marginally the number in Q4, which I don't foresee as of now, as of today.
Okay, sir. Sir, my last question is regarding the overall, any plans of debt reduction, because with this increase in the debt for this quarter, our debt will be closely touching to 800 odd crores. Overall debt.
Overall debt is 780, I think.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
760 overall debt. So, overall our debt has increased by 50 crore, yes, but 80 crore debt has increased in short term for working capital. Long term debt has already reduced by 30 crore. There are two reasons for the short term debt. We are holding more inventory days like earlier, but our turnover has also increased. Plus the raw material prices are still high, was high, and now it is coming down. With all these things, our debt will reduce. We expect to reduce debt from this particular point around 100 crore in Q4.
Okay. Okay. So total debt, you are expecting around 100 crore reduction from these levels?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
To put it, put the record straight, I will not talk about debt equity, but I'll talk debt to EBITDA. The Q1 number, if you are extrapolating for the full year, debt to EBITDA is 1:1.17. Which is improvement from 1.33 for the last year, totally. So I think that is a good matrix. And another good matrix for the performance
whether the debt is yielding result or not, we have reduced the creditor number of days and we have taken cash discounts. That is also reflecting in the ROCE. The ROCE is showing annualized basis 26% pre-tax, vis-a-vis 20% for the full year last year. So I think the increased turnover, the number of days of inventory has slightly increased, but the but I think the turnover by itself has increased totally. The second point is, of course, the raw material cost portion and the reduction of substantial reduction of 70 or crore, I think so.
The creditors. 77 crores has been reduced.
Creditors. Yes. So that is giving us a lot of, because we have been, our credit rating has improved, our borrowing percentage cost is much lower now to compared to some of our suppliers. So we are getting some discounts which is adding to our margins.
Great, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of T.S. Vijay Sarthi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thanks for this opportunity. Just wanted to understand, sir, you said gravity die casting is more preferred. So do you expect that proportion of business to be higher than that of HPDC, LPDC, number one? Does it mean that profitability is higher because there is lesser tooling cost? And how should one look at this? And I'm given to understand even the capex is also very less when you do a more gravity die casting than LPD. Please help me on that. Thank you.
Yeah, your last question, there is capex on gravity also, but it's substantially lesser than high pressure die casting. Yes, the value addition on gravity when compared to the high pressure die casting, which is an automated process, is much higher on gravity. The complexity of the parts, some of the parts on the alloy chemistry is much higher. Yes, and we are used to using sand quartz on our industrial engineering business, which is helping us in the new scheme of things in the auto powertrain. Because auto powertrain business has changed dramatically now. The whole world, I mean, the entire country was operating on aluminum products means it's high pressure casting normally. But now the trend is changing towards also gravity is growing. Gravity is going at much faster rate than high pressure casting. The way it is.
So tooling cost, all of that will come down, right, sir? Am I right?
So tooling cost is part of customer cost. It is not part of our cost.
Okay. And you said that some of the aluminum business in IE, the industrial side, is moved to aluminum. I'm sorry, I missed that point. Are those high margin business and that is high margin products, and that's the reason we see sequential margin expansion in aluminum? Is that the understanding right?
Partially, there is some high margin, but I think we have more increased our margin because of the operating leverage by merging these two divisions.
Could you tell me what proportion of that IE is aluminum which got transferred to that segment, sir? What is that number?
I think the percentage is quite small. I don't have the numbers readily here. We'll take it up later.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sorry, just one clarification on this Daimler engine thing which will be done by Cummins going forward. You said the impact for us is about high single digit. First question is, you're talking about high single digit when the engine gets phased out completely by FY28? Because my understanding was Daimler, though you don't share the client revenue, but it's quite high percentage. So for 24, is that the number quite higher? And that number which you're saying is high single digit is more towards ending the program?
In FY24, I think it will be single digit only for us, the impact overall. So yes, it will be double digit in by 28, but I think it will be around not high double digit, but it will be double digit. That is clear. It will be not in the teens also, because our overall pie is growing faster now on the auto powertrain.
Okay, because when the I mean, what Daimler is saying globally on the emission is to start rolling out the program itself from FY26. So I was wondering why FY28 came. So,
FY28 is when Brazil is likely to move to combustion engine.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. That's what my question. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jay Shah from Jay Shah PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted you to ask, can you throw some light on how the storage solutions and equipment business is picking up, and in terms of, are the incumbents also going for the automation, or is this the new warehouses / logistics setups that are coming up, are they, you know, going for the automated solutions that we offer?
The warehouses are still going with the conventional method, not automated as of now, but the manufacturing fraternity is going for automated solutions. Both are our customers.
Okay. So there is no shift right now from the incumbent in the logistics to go for the automation?
No.
Okay.
But today our order book is quite healthy. We have now, on the automated solutions, we are fully booked for next 6 months, the way it is.
Okay. That's great to hear. That's great to hear. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shyam Garg from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. My first question is in respect to the machine casting. Are we machine casting? And if we are, then what basically is machine casting? Can you throw some light on that?
Oh, this is a little difficult for me to explain very quickly, but the casting is a process where molten metal is poured into a mold, and that is near net shape profile is brought over. Then after that, it has to be finished in machining and further process, like including honing if it's a cylinder block. I would, in generic terms, if I put it across, the casting is like the say cloth, and we are doing the tailoring to finish it. And if you put it in very simplistic terms, so we do the value addition and finish the product by machining.
So can we say that we customize casting with respect to the particular needs of the customer, that we can create machine casting according to the shape and size?
The foundries make the castings. In the auto powertrain business, we do not have any foundry at Craftsman. So we are doing only the higher value added stream, which is we are doing. In the aluminum business, we are doing the entire process of die making, casting making, and also the machining.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So just wanted to reconfirm, you mentioned about 100 crores debt reduction in this year, right, in FY23?
Yes.
Oh, okay, fair enough. And sir, regarding your 20% growth in top line and absolute EBITDA, isn't that a little conservative given the low base of first quarter last year? So automatically the growth in this year is quite exorbitant, right? So on an annual basis, 20% growth looks little conservative. So
yes, it is conservative. Yeah, I agree. It is conservative. Hopefully we'll do much better.
Okay. Understood. Fair enough. And what's the vision for us for next 2 to 3 years in terms of maybe a growth CAGR or anything on those lines?
Yeah, growth CAGR for the next 3-4 years, we'll have a 20%. From year to year, it may change a little. Yes, agreed. But we are very confident about a 20% CAGR.
Confident about 20. And ideally, because you're speaking about operating leverage advantage, so ideally, your bottom line should grow faster than your top line, right?
No, all of it will grow on similar lines.
if it's the same, we're also seeing some inflation, right? So some of the operating leverage portion, we may lose out a little of it to the inflation. So in spite of that, I think you're right, little maybe our, when the growth is faster, the bottom line may grow faster. Yes.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. Yep, that's it from my side. All the very best, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening to all present. Am I audible?
Yes.
Great. So my question is more business related. So if you think about seasonality from Q1, Q2, Q3 and then Q4 and then back to Q1 of next year, in normalized situation, right, in terms of macro factors remaining normal, what kind of a trend can we see seasonally? And given the seasonality and the new orders that would kick in over the next 2 to 3 quarters, what kind of a Q1Q growth on the top line can we expect across the divisions till Q4, essentially?
Normally, if in the past there is any indicator of what it is a 40% split between H1 and 60% to H2. That is normal. But we have seen slightly different trends going, slight changes are happening. But surely Q4 will be the strongest. That is, we are very confident about that. So, Q3 normally there is a correction if the market is having some headwinds. So we saw that last time when we had a good run in Q2, we anticipated that there may be a drop in Q3. It happened like that. But this year the Q2 is not going on a runaway sort of system. So it is accelerating, but it is accelerating moderately. So we are confident that Q3 also will be quite steady.
Got it. So just to confirm, then you had mentioned a 3% Q1Q growth from Q4 last year, and you have said that Q4 is the strongest usually. So despite the seasonal impact, it's a 3% growth Q1Q. So usually, because if we look at the last 2 years, both of the Q1s were actually impacted. So you know, it's difficult to understand the usual Q4 to Q1 performance. So is this a normalized number or, you know, have you performed over and above the seasonal impact?
I would first make a disclaimer. First, how our customers perform and what products we supply to the customer. And if those products are doing well in the market, I think we will be growing faster. You know, on the passenger vehicle segment, we have negligible exposure on the auto powertrain, hardly 8-10% of our auto powertrain business itself is passenger vehicles, totally. And passenger vehicles, we are doing for 2 customers mainly. One is the major customer, and you know the product launches which has happened in the recent past. So that was not there in that significant portion earlier. And we are seeing continuous product launches happening. So that segment is growing for us. So when you ask about Q4 of the this financial year, definitely it will be better than this Q1, what we have closed. And if I may say so, this Q2 also is looking similar line like Q1. That's a very good sign.
Got it. Okay, and more from a tracking perspective, we know that in your powertrain segment, roughly half is from MHCVs, and over there, Tata Cummins and Daimler are main clients. So again, I'm not looking for exact data points, but the sense we have is that you have a major wallet share with Tata Cummins, who in turn have a major share with Tata Motors. Would that be a fair statement?
I'll answer it holistically. See, we are having, you mentioned 2 customers' names, yes. Tata Cummins also supplies outside India, their products which we are supplying to them, machining for them. The second point is Daimler is both domestic as well as export, that I already have clarified earlier. We are also tier 2 supplier to 2 customers in India who are exporting to North America and to Europe on the commercial vehicle business. So that way we are well
diversified on the commercial vehicle business itself. So our, and we are growing on the tire to exports on the commercial vehicle business also.
Got it. Okay. And lastly, on the farm sector, which contributes roughly 20% again, and Escorts and John Deere are some of your clients there. Again, not looking for exact numbers, but would Escorts be a material portion of that revenue, roughly 50-50, or is it different?
We supply to almost all the tractor manufacturers except ITL. So it is fairly distributed, I would say.
Okay.
We don't have too much customer concentration in any single customer, including the market leader. So it is fairly spread.
Got it. Okay. And lastly, data.
I will name the customers because it's already mentioned at DRHP. We have the top three or top four customers are very, very close to each other, I would say, totally. We have, of course, Mahindra. We have the Tafe and Simpson Group. Simpson is the engine manufacturer. And then we have John Deere. We have CNH. All of that, we are substantial. The smaller customers are, of course, for us are Escorts and a little to... Now we have started supplying to Yanmar, who is supplying also to the other tractor manufacturers. But I think, except ITL, we are supplying to everybody.
Understood. And lastly, a data-related question. You gave the value-added numbers for Q1 this time. The numbers you gave for the auto aluminium segment, I understand that would be including the industrial aluminium portion also, right?
Yes.
So could you please give the comparable number value added for aluminium products and INE based on the new classification for the last quarter as well, that is Q4.
Oh, for Q4 you want. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yes, I would, for Q4 FY22, for the aluminium products, in the new classification, value add was 57.5 crores. And for Q1 FY23, it was 71 crore.
Mm-hmm. And what would it be for the INE segment?
For the INE segment, the value add was for Q4, 63 crores. And for Q1, now it has been 58 crores.
Got it. Also, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one question. Why have the numbers got restated in segmental and what goes in and goes out between aluminium and industrial?
No, we are doing aluminium castings for the industrial sector for electrical switchgear and other gearboxes, medical equipment, everything we are doing in the industrial aluminium. But the new scheme of things in the, especially in the EV sector, most of the parts fit into the industrial aluminium segment of our business, the new parts coming in. So we thought then classifying that and mixing this is the problem. Anyway, both the divisions have started to work together, so we just merged the divisions. That's all.
So a part of the aluminium casting which was fitting in industrial and engineering moved to aluminium products. That's how it is, right?
Yes. That is a smaller portion. Yes, it is moved to.
And now industrial engineering will only consist of engineering and storage solution products.
Yes, that is.
There is no auto.
There will be no auto or aluminium product there.
There is no auto and there is no aluminium products now.
Yeah, non-auto, non-aluminium will be our industrial engineering business.
Okay, and aluminium products will be all auto and aluminium.
I think. Then please take me. Give me a minute, please. See, this aluminium, there is also the Predominantly, it was auto aluminium and industrial engineering aluminium. But we are also getting other commodity aluminiums, which are also critical, I would say. In consumer durables, everything inquiries are coming. So there's no point in trying to say this is industrial aluminium, this is auto aluminium. The facilities are same. So we'll be also processing that. Still, it's not coming to our kitty, but it's going to come.
Okay. And the second division for us, if you could just give some idea, how much would be PASTAR, so aluminium, what would be business coming from PASTAR and two-wheelers and other area?
I would just give an approximate number for this financial year when we close this year. The two-wheeler segment will be around 50%. Next year, two-wheeler segment will be only 30-40% is what we see.
And the other is PASTAR, right?
Balance will be mostly PASTAR and little of, of course, industrial aluminium already is there, and we'll be adding some, white goods, durables, everything we'll be adding there.
No, so then that will be part of durables and white goods also will be part of aluminium products? Or it will be part of
aluminium? We'll be adding it there only. So far we are not doing it, but we are seeing potential there.
Okay. As of now, it's not there. So as of now, it is two-wheeler and five-star.
I wish to clarify. Today, we don't have anything in the white goods area, but we are seeing possibilities in the future which will come up in the aluminium products.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to know what are the margin levers that we have going forward. And so second question on the EV segment, as we are seeing more transition from the IC to EV. So what kind of benefit we are seeing in the Europe region and overall, what are the benefits for the company?
First, I will talk about auto powertrain. Our exposure to passenger vehicle segment is negligible in the auto powertrain. It is hardly 10% of our auto powertrain as a segment, and as a company, it's only 5% totally. So there, we are having very strong product launches from our main key customer, and we see a lot of traction in the auto powertrain in the passenger vehicle segment, which is, of course, not EV. It is the IC engine. We feel that the business will go on for 5-7 years in that segment. But I again wish to repeat, 10% of our auto powertrain and 5% of our Craftsman Automation as a company is exposed to passenger vehicle segment totally. So with auto, EV coming into the picture, there are structural parts, there are battery related parts which are we are getting inquiries both from the four-wheeler segment and as well as the two-wheeler segment. We are working on that.
Okay, thank you, sir. And sir, on the margin lever side, if you can throw some light.
What on margin?
Margin lever, what we have going forward.
Margin levers, okay. Margin lever is the operating leverage with better capacity utilization. Still, we are, as mentioned, we are around 70%. And hopefully, capacity utilization in this Q2 or Q3, we will see some good traction going forward, and when that happens, our margins will improve surely. The last point is the new products which our customers are launching, where we are one of the key suppliers there. I think that is also will add to the margins because these are new products and new pricing.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jitendra Khatri from Tata Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, have you seen the Rhino 5536 truck? It's an electric truck from IPL Tech. Am I audible?
Yes, I'm audible. I think it is from the Delhi region, right?
Yeah. So my question is, do you see this as an opportunity or a threat? I mean, I don't know, because see, your aluminum intensity in electric goes up, it might be a big opportunity. So not particularly this product, but this product is just an example of a heavy-duty electric truck. So just taking this product as an example. So would you see this as an opportunity or a threat?
No, we see that there is a small segment of the market where there are shuttle runs around 200 km, 250 km radius, where there are milk runs like happening on the heavy-duty commercial vehicle itself, which will move to EV, which is a very small segment of the market. But I will come from the three-wheeler. Three-wheeler is most likely to move to EV, most of it. That is very sure. And sub-1-ton vehicle also will move to EV, most of it again. The above 1-ton is a trade-off between CNG and EV, because I think it is today CNG will be winning for the next few years. I do not know after that. Coming to the next higher segment, I think still it will be predominantly ICE engine. Now, the whole world is working on hydrogen also, and hydrogen is very difficult to transport, but there's a lot of work going on in the international market with mixing up with ammonia, and they call it green ammonia. But there is a lot of work to be done, like ports and terminals have to be built, barges, tankers have to be built to handle this green ammonia. Once that happens, we will also see that hydrogen also will be coming into the commercial vehicle segment. But yes, it is going to happen.
Okay. And the segments which are electrifying, so do you see opportunity of aluminum out there for you guys?
Aluminum content on even electrical buses or electrical trucks, if it happens, is very less.
Oh, okay.
And that by itself is a smaller segment. Today, we see CNG as the way going forward on this matter because of the battery weight, battery cost. The mightier, let us look at the hierarchy. I'll just give one example. What the mobile phone manufacturers, whether it is iPhone or anybody else, what they can pay for a chip, and what a passenger car manufacturer can pay for a chip, what they can pay for a battery, what can they pay for a battery, for a truck. I think the mobile phone manufacturer can pay more for a battery because the product is sold at a premium cost, whereas a truck cannot pay so much for a premium. These are all rare earths. So there can be price pressures when coming for larger battery subjects. I think we have to wait for solid-state batteries, then only we could be able to take a decision how much penetration will be there in the commercial vehicle segment.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, sir, in the industrial business, so I see it as a whole, whether it's or rather as non-auto, non-automotive powertrain, or so it will have aluminum casting plus your industrial and engineering. So what is the long-term growth that you see here? I know it's a deep cycle business, but and the growth rate will not be comparable to automotive powertrain. But what is one long-term growth you keep in mind, and which sectors will have the largest exposure there in that business?
In the industrial sector, after we remove the aluminum portion and merge it with the aluminum products as a whole, we will still see a CAGR of 20% going forward across all, including the critical subassemblies, what we are doing, or critical components machining we are doing in the industrial segment, along with our storage solution, mainly the automated storage solution products. So we are seeing traction all over.
Sorry to interrupt. So this is because you are providing import substitution to your clients?
Yes. Even one of our clients has put something in LinkedIn where we are doing for green power. We are going to machine some gearbox housings for them for wind turbines. So yes, the customers themselves have disclosed. We have just received the open orders, I would say, but we've got some agreements there in place. We will be developing those parts for them. So we see that as the GDP growth will grow there also.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much for your time and insight.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you share the value adds for 1QFY22, including the revised classification?
Can you rephrase the question, please, or repeat the question if you don't mind?
The value add for 1QFY22.
1Q, okay, 1Q, okay. For which division?
All the three.
All the three, okay. Auto powertrain 157, aluminium products 42, and industrial engineering 39 crores.
Aluminium you said 52.
Aluminium I said 42.
42. Okay, got it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi for closing comments.
Thank you very much, all of you, to join this meeting today, and thank you for asking very interesting questions, which will also help the company to think on the way forward. At the same time, I would like to reiterate that our order position is quite strong, and we are looking at a strong performance in this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.